This week, we believe that children are our future. Teach them well and let them listen to the Midwest Peace Process.
Ladies and gentlemen,
ladies and gentlemen,
I have the pleasure to present to you now. Ladies and gentlemen,
ladies and gentlemen,
I have the pleasure to present to you
the Midwest Peace Process.
The world is very different now.
The Midwest Peace
to remind
Process.
America of the fierce urgency of now. 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 Now.
Welcome to episode 19. Today is February 16th, 2012. I'm Jerry.
I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Rob. And let me send a shout out to Martin Luther King for helping us out on the intro music there. It is Black History Month, so we thought we'd give him a little tip of the hat for helping us out.
Absolutely.
You thought.
You what?
You said we thought. Well, you thought.
Are we bringing out your entertaining negative attitude, Jeremy?
Yeah, it didn't take long, did it?
Oh, good. This is going to be a good episode.
Fired up.
Let me start by reminding everybody, you can find us at MidwestPeaceProcess.com. You can send us your thoughts. Send that to feedback@MidwestPeaceProcess.com. Or just visit us on Facebook. That's Facebook.com/MidwestPeace. So this week we're doing current events. We're just going to cover some stories that were in the news that we're fired up about or that we just wanted to discuss. I just wanted to thank the state of Missouri, first of all, for wasting $10 million on a primary that didn't count.
Hear, hear.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting that, you know, I tell people all the time not to vote because it has no impact. And now, even when the state of Missouri acknowledges that the vote is meaningless, people still show up at the polls. So, you know, I don't know what it's going to take to get people to give up on this myth. But
did it help there wasn't a lot of people?
Well, yeah. I don't know that that helps. I mean, we spent $10 million on a primary, and what was it, less than 8% voted. So,
but we gave Santorum momentum. We helped them complete the trifecta, guys.
Yeah, we identified the people message. Who have no business voting because they voted for that knob.
Uh-oh. Come on, he's the true conservative, Jeremy. I thought you were supposed to be conservative.
Rob. He's kind of scary.
He's not conservative. He's a nutbag.
He's the only true conservative in the race.
Well, then I guess I'm not a conservative. No, I'm not. Actually, I'm not, you know, according to that quiz I took.
True.
It seems like with the way the media plays up these wins, you know, we're like tallying wins. And, you know, so if it's worth it to get a win in Missouri. Oh, I got a win.
Yeah.
You know, and then you count how many states you won. It doesn't matter how meaningless it is or who voted or how many knobs voted for, you know, whoever it is. Or why a candidate like Ron Paul, who is so different than all of them, is like in the race. Like, that doesn't matter. Look how many wins I got.
Yeah. Wins in a non-binding primary, and you know, is he going to win again next month when Missouri actually holds their caucus and you know gives all their delegates to Romney? Because I mean, everybody knows the party is picking this time. The voting really doesn't matter.
Maybe they'll pick Santorum. Maybe they'll pick Ron Paul.
They won't pick Ron Paul.
No, that's not going to happen.
He'll make the hard decisions that none of them want to make, and they'll lose their sweet deal of a political life.
I gotta say, man, us Democrats, you know, we'll run our Kucinich, and it's kind of fun to laugh at, you know, kind of a laughing stock, you know, his Ministry of Peace or whatever. You know, we'll do that, but man, we're looking like pros compared to that right side. This elephant's
you
got it all botched. Oh yeah,
look at our. I missed that.
Look at the last primary. Look at the 2008 primary with the Hillary Obama battle. Now, that's a battle. That's Clash of the Titans there. You guys got Clash of the Chumps.
Yeah. Yeah. Although they're all chumps in my opinion.
Right, right. But at least like they were Hillary and Barack were at least
Yeah, there was some drama there, at least.
And they were kind of good at what they were trying to do if it was all garbage anyway, but at least they were, like if they were shoveling the poo, I mean, they were expert shovelers, you know? These guys can't even shovel it right.
All right, I'll agree with that.
Hey!
Okay. Well, that was painful to say.
That's your entertaining positive attitude.
Next topic. Well, I'll have some links in the show notes here to some of these stories that I came across over the last week or so. We don't need to talk about all of them, but I wanted to mention them so the listeners know that the links are out there. I thought it was interesting there. First of all, a listener provided a link to a story about this town that's decided, well, I don't know if they've decided, but they're considering paying some of their town employees with silver dollars.
Was it Silver Dollar City, the town?
No. Where was this? I'm looking at the story now. Andover. Andover, Massachusetts.
I have a couple questions about that. What we talked about before, it sounds genius, but one, where are they going to get enough to do this, and how long will it last, and where are the employees going to get the windfall, I guess? Are they just going to...
Well, tell us how it's going to work.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
They have in the story here, it says, an employee making $1,000 a week, for instance, may choose to receive half of those wages in silver coins. The town would pay $500 in paper dollars and $500 based on the exchange rate of the silver coins, which would be roughly 14 silver coins. So the employee would actually only receive $514 in wages instead of $1,000, and thereby falling into a lower tax bracket and paying less in taxes. But the tax savings would also apply to the town because they don't have to withhold as much, you know, because they're withholding taxes based on the face value of the coins, not their market value.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the town stands to save a ton of money by doing this.
And that was my question, is the as an employee, yeah, maybe I'll warm to this idea, but if I need to liquidate some of this, what, you go to the local coin shop, or what do you do?
Turn around,
you melt it.
Coins, and, you know, you can sell them for their melt weight, whatever the going rate is. Right now, it's about $35 an ounce.
Is there any silver in a silver medal at the Olympics?
Pretty sure.
I don't know. They may just be silver plated. I don't think
they're not solid silver. I mean, the whole thing.
I would definitely win one and melt that thing down.
what event? Badminton.
Rhythmic gymnastics.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm an ace with that ribbon.
Chess.
Olympic chess. It's
an Olympic event, isn't it? Isn't there an Olympic
chess? No, I don't think so.
No? Okay.
Pretty sure it's not.
Do you guys know about chess boxing?
Is this an extreme sport?
Maybe I'll put a link in the show notes. Yeah, there's chess boxing. Two guys get in there and beat each other up for three rounds, and then they play chess for, like, you know, a couple minutes. And they're all woozy and, you know, making bad decisions. Then they go and play chess again. Then they box again. That needs a link in the show notes.
Yeah, what if you get checkmate? What?
I don't know what happens.
Is the fight over? Or what do you? Huh.
I just like to think how bad I play chess now, and, like, what if some guy was beating me up while I was playing? Maybe I'd be incredible.
We can try it. I like playing chess. Let's try it, Rob.
Come on, let's go. We can spar.
Okay, so we'll have to switch the podcast to a video podcast, right? Everybody can enjoy that.
Yes.
There you go.
Okay, so Newsweek magazine had a rather provocative headline on their cover this week. I don't know if no one's seen it, I'll tell you. It said something to the effect of, are homeschoolers out of their minds? But I think that was just to get the homeschoolers to buy the magazine. Because once you got in and read the article, it's actually a very positive story about, you know, how so many urban professional parents are making the choice to home educate. And, you know, a growing number are not doing it for religious reasons. So, thought that was interesting. Yeah. There's a link in the show notes if you want to read that article.
Yeah, I know the homeschool parents kind of share resources and they have a little science fair with all the other homeschool kids.
Right.
But are there any, are there groups of parents that where it's pretty much like a, almost like a size of a school, you know, where you like almost like a parochial, you know, like elementary Catholic school where you have 30 kids, you know, and they're all in there and they rotate parents or something. It seems like, is there any middle ground between me dealing with my own kid all day and the school situation?
There are parents who will volunteer to teach certain subjects on a co-op basis. So like I would teach math if, you know, you could teach art or something, you know, and
hey, I know math.
One day a week. Yeah. Well,
don't pin me on craft time.
First that, I'll teach art, you can teach math.
There you go. I'm not sending my kid to art class with you. I've seen your handwriting. I've just never heard. I know there's cooperation, but I've never heard of like a real collective or.
No, I haven't either. I haven't seen anybody go to that extreme, really.
Right.
More just, you know, like one day a week we get together at so-and-so's house and they teach Spanish or, you know, something like that.
Interesting.
Jerry, in all this schooling and education talk, I don't know if we've ever mentioned Parents as Teachers, that program. What are your thoughts on that program? Do you know much about it?
Yeah, we actually participated in it
okay.
when my oldest was first born. They come to your house, they give, quote, tests to your kid just to kind of chart their development against what they consider to be the norm and,
yeah.
You know, give you a warm fuzzy about how your kid's doing as far as motor skills and language skills and whatnot. But, you know, the idea of the program, I think, is sound. It's, you know, it's basically focused on getting the parents involved at an early age in educating the child.
Yeah, but you must be against the idea of public funding for such a thing.
Well, I am.
Right.
But the other thing that I found somewhat objectionable was that they're associated with a specific school district, and they kind of sell the school district.
Right.
Like the person who
comes to
your house is, that's part of their job is, you know, hey, you're going to put your kid in this school, right?
Maybe exactly.
You should come.
Really?
You know.
Oh yeah. We've gotten, they've expanded preschool at our, in our district. And it's something you have to pay for. And I think they saw some kind of money or profit motive or something. Maybe it's not that bad, but maybe they want to grow. Let's just be, we'll be diplomatic.
Yeah.
You know, so they, I mean, they were certainly pushing, you know, oh, you should go all day next year, or you should do more days a week, or, you know, like, that pushing is all tied in with their expertise about knowing kids or their supposed expertise. Hmm. So it gets real dicey in there. You know, are you making this suggestion because you think it's best for the kid, or are you sent here trying to push preschool, you know?
Do they have some quota they have to... Right. Try to get, or they get it. Wow, I didn't realize that. I mean, I don't know much about the program other than hearing neighbors and relatives talk about it, but that would turn me off pretty quickly. I don't like being sold to,
right.
Especially in a situation like that.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good idea too. I mean, a lot of this stuff is fairly obvious, somewhat obvious, I guess. Sometimes when they do the tests, you're like, man, I didn't even think that was an issue, or that was something that she, you know, a benchmark that she should be hitting or whatever it is. Some of it's pretty interesting, you know, but they do. And it's also a lot like a lot of doctors, you know, if you have doctors and they know what pharmaceuticals there are, you have a problem, they're going to look to a pharmaceutical, you know, it's the, what they see as the solution. So whatever the issue is with your kid, you know, they'll always have a school-based or therapy-based solution when maybe the kid's just fine, you know.
Yeah.
Because they're trained to find issues, so sometimes they find issues where there's no issue.
Yeah, that was the that was kind of the point at which we started to detach from.
Right, right.
And the selling of the school district's assets and resources and whatnot, that only got worse the longer it went on, you know. So, like I said, the premise of the program is good, and my understanding is that it started here in Missouri and it's spread nationwide.
Yeah.
But now they're facing some sort of budget problems, but I guess...
Of course.
Silly government.
Yeah.
There was a video kind of went viral among the home education crowd this past week of a... I'll put a link to this in the show notes, too. But the video is of a woman named Debbie Squires, and she's a education official at the Michigan Elementary and Middle School Principals Association. And her comments have sparked controversy because she basically says, that while parents want what's best for their kids, they don't know what's best for their kids. And, you know, they need professionals, you know, in education to know what's best for their kids.
All right, I have a major issue with that.
Most people in this video have an issue with it, I think, but...
I haven't seen the video, but just that statement. There are plenty of so-called professionals who are complete idiots and can't manage their own life, let alone convey to somebody else what is best for them. We're getting too much into you need to leave it to the experts. There was a story, Rob, go ahead and jump on this because I read it on Drudge, and you'll say, well, that shouldn't have made headlines, but... It was about a child, elementary school, I don't remember, maybe like second grade, but they forced the child to eat the school lunch because the cafeteria monitor didn't feel the child's home, the lunch the child brought from home was healthy enough. It was a turkey and cheese sandwich, some potato chips, some fruit, and a couple other things.
So they made the kid eat chicken nuggets.
Chicken nuggets, yes, and they charged the mom $1.25 for the lunch, and I just think that is way over the line.
I agree. What do you think, Rob?
I don't know, my eyes are hurting them. They're rolling back so far.
Now, come on. You seriously would be okay with somebody at the school taking away your lunch that you had made and saying, that's not healthy food, you need to eat this instead?
No, I'm with you. I mean, it's obviously way over the line and inappropriate.
Why is that out? You just said it wasn't. You were rolling your eyes.
No, I am rolling my eyes, and I agree with you. I agree that it's outrageous. I roll my eyes of like, look at this slippery slope. Look at this article I found on Drudge, and this is the end of the world.
I don't think that's what I said. And just because you act like Drudge is making this stuff up. There are links from other news stories.
Right,
it would be no different if I saw it on Ana Nova or CNN, who picked it up from Associated Press or whatever else. It's no different.
Maybe we should talk about Drudge.
Maybe we should talk about you.
So hostile.
This is Jeremy's entertaining negative attitude.
I'm feeling entertained.
Hey, you brought it out early tonight, so I'm just...
Yeah, I mean, it's sensational things. It's probably some overzealous, you know, lunch lady or something. I mean, I don't think this is an epidemic throughout the nation of nugget feeding. You know,
like chicken nuggets are actually food.
Right, right, right.
I mean, yeah, and that grinds my gears about that is, you know, school already notorious for not serving healthy food to kids.
Right, right. Oh, yeah.
The height of hypocrisy for them to question what some parents sent along.
Right, right. Yeah, and I know people who have worked in like the inner city schools, you know, where the budget's even tighter. And when the budget gets tight, you know, what, like, why are people obese? It's not like the organic salad is $2 and then McDonald's is $10. You know, it goes the other way.
Right.
So when you're hurting for money, you get the most frozen pre-made junk you can imagine. And yeah, so and in this kitchen, they didn't cook anything. There was no cooking. There was no like lunch lady there making the huge vat of soup.
Right.
You know, it was nothing but heating corn dogs and like pizza slices. All they did was heat stuff and put it on styrofoam, and that was the lunch.
It was cheap though. Ever watch Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution when that was on?
I know of it.
No.
Well, last season they went to Los Angeles and they were trying to, you know, reform all the cafeterias in the LA school district. And you know, it was the same deal. They had like one central kitchen that cooked up all this food and then they flash froze it and shipped it out to all the schools. So they all had these, you know, fully functional kitchens that were built back in the 40s or 50s or whenever the building was built, but they never used half the equipment that was in there. All they used were the ovens to, you know, thaw out right. This frozen crap that,
yep.
They probably microwaved it to zap all the nutrients right out of the whatever was in there.
Yeah.
Do you have a conspiracy theory about microwaves?
No, it's not a conspiracy.
None of yours are.
Let's hear it.
Look around. All right, forget it, you know.
Is it true? I never heard of such a thing.
Well, maybe you ought to hear more things then.
Jeez.
Tell us, Jeremy. Well,
tell us. So if I microwave my carrots aren't as yummy, or they're not as healthy?
I didn't do the research, so I don't know. I can't speak to that.
All right.
I've heard, yes,
You've heard tell of such a thing?
I've heard tell that microwaving does damage some of the nutritional value of certain foods, yes. And it wasn't, I heard it from my neighbor, it was, you know, an actual
Drudge.
Scientific article. Yeah, I read it on Drudge. It's a slippery slope, Rob. Pretty soon all the nutrients will be destroyed. Just like your inner city kitchen, it's a slippery slope. All of a sudden, all of the inner city kitchens will be serving the bad food.
To me, that sounds like a paradise of corn dogs. I mean, I'd be ready to learn.
What?
You know, like a cafeteria with nothing but pizza slices and corn dogs? Sounds pretty tasty to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Too bad you can't live on that. Okay, next story. I got a link in here to an article about how Portugal decriminalized all drugs about 10 years ago. And they have now done a study and found that after a decade of this policy, that their levels of drug abuse within the country is down by half of what it was when they started.
How about that?
Yeah. Now, you know, as much as I'd like to say that by itself is what, you know, corrected the problem or improved the problem, they do point out that they took a bunch of the money that they normally would have used tracking down people, you know, who are doing these illegal drugs. And they're, you know, they're spending it on rehabilitation, basically, treating people who are addicted. And so while I still don't agree with spending public money on rehabilitation for people, that's certainly a better way to spend the money than, you know, violating people's rights to put whatever they want in their bodies.
Yeah. I don't entirely agree with that statement. You know, the right to put whatever you want in your body. Yeah, that is a right up until the point it starts infringing on other people's rights.
Like what?
Like drunk drivers who crash into somebody else or drug addicts who go in, rob a bank, shoot some people. You know, they need money for their next fix, so they go in and rob someplace and end up killing some people in the middle of it. Well, then I think they no longer have the right to put whatever they want in their body because they've established that they can't do it in a responsible way that doesn't impact society.
Okay.
So
they've also established that they're not going to respect the law that says those drugs are illegal. So
true, right.
So
okay.
So the law is not helping.
No, I agree, and I am in favor. I think drugs should be legalized in some manageable fashion. But that was a side note. I forget what I was originally going to say.
Well, I think at its core, the war on drugs is a war on individual rights, and the primary right there is self-medication. Nobody should be able to tell you what you can put in your own body. It's your body. You get to decide that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay. Well.
Okay.
And now I'm not saying that they should not be held liable for, you know, any injuries they cause other people in pursuit of that. Or because of, you know, I'm not saying that somebody who's driving drunk has the right to crash into anybody they want.
Right.
Everybody has the right to exercise poor judgment. That's what freedom is.
It's a good phrase there.
So the overall point, what I was going to say after my side comment, it just came back to me that using public money to rehabilitate people, yeah, I agree that that is a better outcome, because then you make them contributing members of society, and they can have a job and pay taxes like the rest of us, and pay illegal taxes like the rest of us.
That's right. Three loves company.
I don't know much about Portugal, so I assume that story isn't skewed in some fashion. And
I don't know. The link that I put is from Forbes magazine. So.
Oh, Forbes. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that left-wing rag.
Well, starting out here, I think pot should be legal. I think marijuana, I think it's ridiculous that it's illegal. It's so stupid. The states who have legalized medical marijuana, it's the biggest joke. I used to listen to Bob and Tom, AM radio show. I don't know if it's no longer on the air here as of a few weeks ago, but they'd have these comedians in, and I won't throw out a stat. I don't know how many, but a non-trivial number of comedians would be like, oh, yeah, I have my medical marijuana card. You know, I get it because I had anxiety. You know, they're just potheads. They made up a reason to go get it. It's a joke. Just legalize it.
Well, so it's a joke in the sense that, you know, all these states, they vote to legalize it for medical purposes or whatever, and the federal government comes in and says, no, sorry. You're not going to legalize it. It's still illegal.
So we need some politicians to change it. Who's going to change it? I think my lefties are more likely to make a change. Got time to make a change for once in my life.
You didn't read that Bill Murray article, did you, that I sent?
I like that. Wait, which one?
You liked
the one
it?
About
yeah.
personal responsibility?
Yes.
No, that's a good – I'm down with that. What's wrong with personal responsibility?
Nothing. You're missing part of what he's saying, though, because you keep saying my lefties, and we need to get rid of all that crap. That's the root of the problem.
You want to take these ends of the spectrum and bring them together in a circle of unity.
Don't give me that unity crap. I don't believe in that.
I want people to
work for what is best.
What does that have to do with drugs?
It doesn't. I was talking about the statement you just made.
Oh. Wait, how did we get on Bill Murray from the...
You said you thought your lefties would be more likely to legalize marijuana or legalize drugs in general.
I think you would more likely find a push, if that ever happens, it's going to come from the left and not the right. That's what I'm saying. That if you want the feds to change, you need to change the federal laws. And if you want the laws to change, you need to elect congressmen that are going to change that law and a president who's going to veto it, and I'm not seeing that come from Republicans.
Actually, I think it's more likely that these laws will be declared unconstitutional.
Nice.
We don't need the laws changed. We just need a court case to go all the way to the Supreme Court. And,
right.
You know, somebody, you know, it doesn't even have to be a good lawyer to make this argument, because this is a slam dunk. Somebody stand up there and say, you know what? We needed to amend the Constitution to ban alcohol. So what you know, where did we amend the Constitution to ban all of these individual drugs? I don't remember that happening. I don't remember the you know, two-thirds of the Congress voting on that and three-fourths of the states ratifying that. I don't think
that's happened. Closed.
Yeah. So we're done here. These laws are all null and void. Bye.
But the Supreme Court doesn't make – it tries not to make radical decisions that are completely divorced from the will of the people.
What? You know,
wait a minute.
Gay marriage. Let's see. Abortion.
How about Brown versus Board of Education?
Well, sometimes they do.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they do. But you're not going to see it come out of left field. Left field. Get it?
Yeah.
I'm not seeing it happen is what I'm saying. I'm not seeing some lawyer bopping up some like pothead dude, you know, gets busted for a dime bag or whatever it is and, you know, ends up at the Supreme Court and then the next day all the marijuana is legal everywhere. I don't think that's – I don't know. That's a nice vision though. I don't think it's going to happen.
Maybe not. But, you know.
What, but I do – what I was thinking about the circle of unity.
So more people have to die before
right.
– we, you know, America wakes up and says, hey, you know what? This is just like prohibition.
Right, right.
And that didn't right. work, so maybe we need to rethink this.
Right.
What was the trigger for repealing prohibition?
I think people had finally just had enough of all the gangland violence.
That's my understanding, but my understanding doesn't need to be rooted in any kind of history. It's more of a gut thing.
So... along those lines, would it be better if the – this will sound total whackball, but if the Mexican drug cartel violence did start spilling over more into the United States so that people got fed up with that and just said, let's legalize all this crap?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would help speed things along. I hate to see, you know, innocent people die, but
– yeah. I think it would have to take a lot, though, because drug violence in every city in America hasn't been enough of an impetus to do it.
Right,
right.
But it
was enough to pass the Brady Bill, though.
It doesn't sound a big story. Like, well, okay.
Right. I mean,
I don't.
Well, that's the source of all the fear about. Guns in this country,
right? Is gang. Yeah, I know it's gun control, but
and the gang violence has its root in the drug trade.
So, okay,
you know that was enough motivation for them to pass the Brady Bill, and we spent you know 10 or 12 years in this country demonizing people who own and carry guns instead of you know directing that where it should have been, demonizing the people who have made drugs illicit.
Well, that's. That's the MO of, I don't want to just say this country, but maybe it is. Punish the many because of the deeds of the few.
Yeah. All right.
Wait, I got a topic.
Okay.
I don't even know how I feel about this. Or I think I know how I feel, but I can't express it, which is always entertaining. But I wonder what you guys think. So... talk about another Drudge fire, little flame up. I don't even know if it was on Drudge, but this is a very Drudge type thing. That
what does that mean?
Well, you'll see. that Obama launched a African Americans for Obama group or something. I don't know. I don't even know if it's a group.
That is racist as all get out.
At least we know where Jeremy stands.
Way to shoot from the hip there, Jeremy.
He launched a group called African Americans for Obama.
Right.
If somebody launched a group called Caucasians for Romney.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Burn down the town.
That's called the GOP. Snap. I don't know what I think. On the surface, it seems a little fishy. You know, but then what is it? It's like it's a website here, you know, I think is all it is. And he's trying to organize people to go, you know, campaign and vote. But, you know, so now I'm looking at I got this link of the Obama store. You guys should totally go. There's really good stuff here. But here's a WFO supporter pack, Women for Obama, you know, and here's a little picture of of Bo the dog. I bark for Barack. It's like a dogs for Obama. You know, it's just, isn't it just silly politics? Here's a basketball jersey, Hoopers for Obama. You know, is it really anything? Well, I mean, isn't there going to be sports?
Maybe it's nothing, but the fact that you said he started it.
So wait, so what?
Barack
what
Obama
do I have?
Started it.
Well,
I say he's got a video that says that the campaign statement is today we're announcing the 2012 launch of African Americans for Obama, which doesn't say what the heck that is. Then it says there's no better time than African American History Month to consider the tremendous progress we've made through the sacrifice of so many, or a better time to commit to meeting the very real challenges we face now, blah, blah, blah. Visit this website for more information about all the ways you can get involved, blah, blah, blah. Thanks, and see you out there. It's just campaign silliness.
Okay. But
I mean, isn't there going to be a Mormons for Romney and a Sportsman's for W?
There's the website is barackobama.com/African-Americans.
Nice.
Right?
Nice.
That's what I'm looking at right now.
Yeah. Okay, that must be it.
So, you know.
Look at Jeremy, like, can barely.
It is Obama's campaign website.
Right.
It's not like it's an independent organization and he's just endorsing them.
No, it's an official thing.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, you said Mormons for Romney. That, in my opinion, that would be different because it would be a group of people getting together. Maybe it's not. Maybe that's just right. As bad. But instead of Romney saying, hey, you Mormons, you need to rally and support me. It would be a bunch of Mormons saying, you know, we like this guy and let's get people who have similar beliefs together and try and support him.
Right. And here I took barackobama.com/African-Americans and I took out the African-Americans and put barackobama.com/women. And hey, there's another beautiful site, Women for Obama. And then I'm like, let's take out the W-O, barackobama.com/men. Oh, sorry, the page you're looking for
not
isn't
found.
Here.
Yeah.
So should I be more mad that he doesn't have men for Obama? I'm a dude. What's he got against me? I'm aggrieved.
You should be more mad
this.
That you haven't figured out that men don't support Obama.
Nice.
Your claim of manhood is suspect now.
Real men don't vote for Barack Obama.
That's beautiful. I love it. I don't think I'm mad about this.
I don't think I am either. I mean, it's all theater. Anything, you know, all the whole political process, it's all theater. So,
right.
Yes, and the only reason I'm mad about it is because if it were reversed, it would be a poop storm of the century.
Well, yeah, I could see it being controversial if a white candidate, you know, said, hey, here's a new site devoted to white people for, you know, for the clearly Caucasian candidate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe I guess there could be a little bit of a double standard there, but.
Well, I'd say we could talk about that as a whole issue. I know that's always a classic. Where's White History Month?
I'm not advocating for that. That's
it's the other 11. No,
yeah. I don't know.
Now I'm looking at all the Romney swag, man.
All right. Well, while Rob decides who he's going to vote for, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we'll cover some listener feedback and maybe one or two more topics. So stay with us. All right, we're back. What do we got? We got a couple more topics to talk about.
What do
we got? Want to talk about your Rachel Maddow video?
Nah, I'll reference it and move on to something else.
Okay.
So you can check out the video. She's real good with the with the video and kind of knowing what's going on and diving real deep into some of the details of this main race. And she's raising some questions about something fishy going on with state-run GOPs and this sequence of Romney victories that don't quite become Romney victories. Like the same thing happened in Iowa, which gave him a lot of momentum. Oh, he won Iowa. And then in Maine, they went ahead and said he won, even though he only won by like 120 votes. And there's whole counties that didn't even have their votes tallied. So they didn't say, oh, it's too close to call. We'll get back with you. They just said, oh, Romney wins, you know, which is kind of silly. They'll apportion their delegates later. You know, in the world of real counting, it doesn't really matter. But, hey, the media likes to talk about states won and momentum.
Yeah.
And it does seem like things are biased to helping this Mitt guy, you know, win no matter what. Oh, he won. You know, it's case closed when it's not really case closed. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is my conspiracy theory. Wouldn't be surprised if there's establishment GOP people in there counting votes and running elections that are pretty happy to have him winning.
Right.
Fishiness. Yeah,
I don't have any stories or evidence to suggest fraudulent behavior, except I know it goes on. And I laugh anytime the United States comes out criticizing another country for holding fraudulent elections. It just cracks me up. I think, wow, why don't you just not talk about them? Because right, we're doing the same thing. It's just in a more civilized way.
Right, right, right. Right. And I'll also say there's kind of a theme. This isn't a brand new theme, but kind of running through commentary that I'd like to mention that it's been interesting that as supposedly the economy numbers are getting better and better. You know, it was when the Republicans were elected in 2010, it was jobs, jobs, jobs. Of course, they could care less about jobs, jobs, jobs. They're worried about other things. And while the economy's been bad, it's been like endlessly pound Obama on the economy. But now as maybe the perception or some numbers of some trend, some unemployment at 8.3%, you know, all that silly stuff, as that stuff maybe turns around, look what's happening. Oh, it's a big flare up of social issues. You know, hammer this guy on religion. You know, we'll have some more birther. I think as the economy improves, you're going to see a lot more controversies about social issues. It's going to be like 2000 all over again. Statement, yeah. True.
Well,
so be on the lookout for that.
That's not unique to this election.
No, or Obama. I'm just saying
it's any time the economy is good. Well, let's talk about something else that we can rail on.
Right.
We're not just going to give up and say, okay, the economy is good. I guess. You know, let's lay down our guns. You win.
Hey, guns? What are you talking about, guns?
Proverbial. Not. Oh, well, yeah, that should be another issue. Yeah.
That's right. But, yeah, it is. It's right. So they got to have something. But yeah, it's what kind of started, what was interesting about when the Tea Party was on the rise, and for the last, you know, two or three years, you know, there's talk about ending the Fed, and there's financial policies, and people are talking about debts and Medicare. I mean, there's a real financial focus and theme as we've gone through this crisis, and you know, the charges against Obama and Obamacare wasn't they. I mean, they tried to hit it on the social issues and death panels, but that never played out. It was all about the budget. That's where you hit it. We're not able to pay for this, too much in the deficit. And which was kind of refreshing. I kind of appreciated it after the Bush years, you know, to put some of these social issues aside and let's start talking some economy. But now that that's getting better, it's like, oh, now we need to have a flare up on contraception. You know, we're going to be pivoting back on some of that stuff. Is he really a Christian? Was he born here? You know, it's going to be a lot more of that. Be on the lookout. Stay tuned for more social flare ups.
All right.
Culture wars.
All right, let's roll into our listener feedback. Our listener Tim had this to say. Hey guys, really enjoyed episode 18. It seemed conflicting opinions, particularly between Jeremy and Rob, were expressed at the end, and hearing you guys mix it up with disagreements made things very interesting. I don't want anyone killing anyone, but for the future, find topics that there are strong differing opinions to create more of a debate. It is an entertaining way to give listeners something to think about and when they hear strong opposing views. And it seems to bring out Jeremy's entertaining negative attitude.
Done and done.
Tim also says, I got where Jeremy and Jerry stand, but does Rob want to end the Fed as well?
No, I guess. I don't know. I just don't think about the Fed. Maybe that's the big difference. Probably should.
What is your impression of the Fed?
I'll agree with what you guys characterize it as, that some kind of board of elite powerful people pulling levers that they probably shouldn't be pulling on, and not doing things necessarily that are good for the country. I mean, I'll buy all of that. You know, I don't. I mean, it seems
all right,
like
so
such.
Let's keep them.
let's keep that around.
What?
Maybe I don't see. I don't see the path. I don't see the path to. I don't see the path from the Fed to nothing.
Yeah. Well, I don't think anyone's charted that path because, you know, and I don't know. Maybe Ron Paul has. I haven't read his book, but
right.
You know, maybe he has prescribed that path in there. But yeah, I'll concede it would not be easy and it will be painful.
Right.
But, you know, the path we're on is not easy and painful at the same time. So let's, you know, do our homework and figure out which is the best and most sustainable
right
to go.
There's one thing I like about that book, Web of Death. They offer quite a few different ideas for what could change or other forms of managing the money in the United States and the world, in fact. Not as a single currency. Let me clear that up.
So what, I mean, just for example, what was...
They cited some of the things you've talked about, Jerry, the different currencies that small communities of people have developed. They talk about those a little bit, and then they try to expand those to a national level. Not always, you know, it doesn't always work. And of course, it's in a book, so this is theoretical, and it's easy to say, oh, yeah, this would work. But they also talk about, instead of the gold standard, having a going to some useful goods standard. We talked about that a little bit last episode. So you don't just have one thing that people can manipulate. You have this group of things that are much harder to manipulate the prices to devalue a country's currency.
Right.
And it takes some of the power away from the speculators.
Interesting. I'll put a link to the Web of Debt book for anybody who wants to check that out.
You did once before, but be worth refreshing it, I guess.
Can't hurt to put it out there again.
That is correct.
So, listener Tim also said, the gold standard sounds good, but is it really feasible for the U.S. to do it? In 2010, the largest producers of gold, in order, are China, Australia, the U.S., South Africa, and Russia. Would we need some of these countries to do a gold standard with us, since they have the supply? Tearing down the system and putting in a new one seems like a good idea, but it's change, and that could scare people more than they already are about the economy. Well, this is kind of like what we just said about...
It's
uncharted waters, it's scary, it's painful, but, you know, what we got going right now is only going to get more painful. If you believe that. I mean, I do, but I'm sure there are a lot of people who don't. They think we're just in a slump and we'll come out
right,
just like we have in the past, and maybe we will, but I think the you know, you chart the trend over this country's history, and you know, we're never going to get back to levels of prosperity that we've seen in the past. Things may get better than they are right now, but I don't believe that, you know, we're ever going to be able to go back.
Right. Yeah. You mean, you got to wonder what's, yeah, it's whatever happens next will be different than it was. I mean, it doesn't mean catastrophic cataclysms, but it might be, but it might be something different. But you're right. You can't see us going from 1950 to 2012 and somehow ended up back at 1950.
Yeah.
You know, with monetary policy or employment or whatever it is. I mean, I think that's what we think of when we think of, oh, we'll get back on our feet. It'll be
right. The good old days.
Right, right.
Yeah. All right. Any final thoughts from you guys?
I have one. We never talk about thoughts on Iran and what's going on there. That's probably a larger topic when we have more time, but seems to be gaining steam lately.
Yeah.
And one of the things I find, I don't know, it's maybe it's a little sickly amusing, but there's a story that the Air Force they had a rush on these bunker buster bomb, this new, I don't know how new it is, massive ordnance penetrators, this huge bunker buster. And it was an emergency or urgent need contract that they signed to get these things, but they said, well, this has nothing to do with Iran.
No, it's just for it's for training.
Yeah. I found that amusing in right. a sick way, I guess, because it's a horrible thing, but
pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
That's exactly what it's like. Okay, well, they said it's not for any.
Oh, that's what this. Yeah, we're all set.
Negative purpose. So we're all set here. We're good. It's safe. Yeah, it's just, we got to rush these to them.
The whole Iran issue. The problem I have with it, talking about with most people, is you know the whole Iran thing just happened, right? It's in the news right now, and therefore there's no history behind it. It's a, you know, it's a current yeah. event.
Right.
And never mind the fact that, you know, our interference with Iran started in 1953. So
yes,
we're going on 60 years here of meddling in that country. And, you know, but most people aren't aware of that. And so they just think that, you know, it's this evil country over there, you know, it's Ahmadinejad rattling his saber and making us look bad and on the world stage or whatever. So people feel we have to respond somehow. Otherwise we end up looking wimpy I don't know. If you haven't been paying attention, if you haven't read the history, then yeah, I guess you can easily be duped into thinking that, but you know, the fact is that we've been poking this hornet's nest for quite a while now. And, you know, if we end up getting stung by them too, well, we probably deserved it.
And it, oddly enough, right after September 11th, relations warmed with Iran for a little bit.
Yeah.
Some said, well, we didn't buy into it because we thought they had ulterior motives. But still, on the surface, there was an overture there.
Right.
And that went away pretty quickly. And there's even speculation that this isn't related to their nuclear ambitions as much as it's stated in the news, that it's a monetary issue, that they're trying to trade oil in something other than US dollars.
Yeah.
And we're trying to defeat that. I don't know enough about it to say, but
well, that is an aspect of it that it's another thing that doesn't make sense when I discuss this with people, because you know I've had these debates online with a couple of people that think we have the right to go in there and just you know lock that country down because they're developing nuclear technology, you know, Like, we have the right to police the world on how they develop nuclear technology. I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense to me.
And that's one reason I don't buy into like the UN and I guess most organizations like that, that you have all these countries who are members. Well, half of the countries are trying to fight this, and the other half are making it happen. And I'm referring to Russia building a nuclear reactor for them and supplying fuel.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not saying Russia shouldn't be doing that. I'm just saying the same member countries are on opposite sides of this. And I guess that's kind of an obvious statement based on the history of the UN. But
yeah, I'll say is I don't understand how we can fault other countries for trying to gain military power, because that affects what we do. You know, like, I don't really fault North Korea for being crazy with their nukes, because that's what that it walks, it talks, it makes things different. You know, I think we're a lot more cavalier about bopping around in some South American country if we had to, you know, because we think we can do whatever we want. But boy, you know, if you have military power, boy, we think twice. So I mean, you can't then fault a country for trying to beef it up, you know,
right?
Because that's the only thing that seems to give us any pause when we want to do something that we probably shouldn't be doing.
Well, it's what the hell? I can't even think of the term for it, but. Yeah, we don't treat everyone equal.
Right.
We didn't do the same thing when
Pakistan, I don't think there's a term for that.
In India, we're I'm talking about the deterrent factor.
Oh, there you go.
There we go.
Right.
Yeah. Other countries are developing their own deterrence, and that doesn't play well with our strategy.
Right. Right. Something could happen. We'd be talking about that, not the Fed.
Yeah.
Wag the dog.
I want to remind everybody to send us your thoughts and your feedback, MidwestPeaceProcess.com or on Facebook, Facebook.com/MidwestPeace. We would love to hear from you. And we will be back next week with some more thought-provoking topics. What are we going to talk about next week?
I don't know. We have to think about the thought-provoking topics.
Yeah, I assumed you meant we were having a guest then if it was going to be thought-provoking.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye now.
Good night.
Over and above my school board hat, I was also involved in the Michigan PTA for a number of years, serving at the state level as its president. So I have advocated for parental choice for a very long time, which PTA does as well. However, you don't get to choose to use taxpayer dollars to fund an education that the system, that the government and that your community has not decided is appropriate. Now, do parents have a right to make decisions regarding education? Absolutely. And they can do that at the ballot box when they elect their school board officials. If their district is not offering programs that they want, they can hold them accountable with their vote. But we do, you know, educators go through education for a reason. They are the people who know best about how to serve children. That's not necessarily true of an individual resident. I'm not saying they don't want the best for their children, but they may not know what actually is best from an education standpoint.
Wow. Parents don't know what's best for their child.
I said they may want what's best for their child. They may not know, and they may not have the capabilities. We heard earlier about spending 6 and 7 hours a day in that situation, and it works. But not every parent has the ability to do that or the opportunity.
Okay. Thank you very much for your testimony.